Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is a wonderful, wonderful cold Tuesday morning. And I'm so glad you are here with me, joining me, so we could just have a little talk. Today is January 19th, of 2016. We are almost finished with the month of January. I don't know about you, but I know for me, this has been an exciting year already. So I'm so excited. Once again, I am your host, Yvette Harmony Jett, better known as the Spiritual Harmonizer. And what I do is I help you become one with your soul. So I'm so grateful that you are here with me, that you're just took the time out to listen to what I had to say. And I really hope and pray that anything I say today will be encouraging to you. So if you'd like to call in and talk to me, I would love to talk to you. If you want a dialogue, let me know. And I would love to hear from you out there in radio land. So I just want to let you know a little about who I am and what I do. Like I said, I'm Yvette Harmony Jett. I am the Spiritual Harmonizer, and I help you become one with your soul. What I do is I make sure that there's no discord or dissonance in your life whatsoever, so that every aspect of your life is one harmonious note, so there's no lack, limitation, or scarcity in your life, and that everything comes together beautifully and perfectly. And how I do that is through the seven keys to spiritual harmony. And I believe that these seven keys to spiritual harmony will truly change and revolutionize your life. And I do it because I know that the soul needs to be healed. I know for a fact that the soul needs to be harmonized. And I am most definitely certain that every soul wants to be at its fullest potential. So that's what I do. That's who I am. That's what I'm about. And so if you'd like to reach out to me through Facebook, it's under Yvette Harmony Jett or The Spiritual Harmonizer, or you could always email me at thespiritualharmonizer@gmail.com. But I'm just going to hop right into the topic for today, and this topic is so personal to me in my life right now. The topic for today is your soul spiritually homeless? Wow. Is your soul spiritually homeless? And I found that this topic is so important in so many aspects and in so many ways of life. And this topic came about, I was talking to a wonderful, super bad sister last week, as a matter of fact, and we had lunch together. It was the first time we met officially in person. We had met before via social media, and she was my friend in social media, and we got together for a lunch, and it was phenomenal. We were having a conversation, and she said, sometimes we are spiritually homeless. And that just overtook me. I was like, oh, my God, spiritually homeless. And then on Sunday, I was with my spiritual community, and my pastor said, you don't have to be homeless. Oh, my God, there it was again. And then our spiritual community also had an event where we went to feed the homeless. So everything is kind of gelling around this whole theme of being homeless. And I thought about it. What does it truly mean, really, in all actuality, what does it truly mean for your soul to be spiritually homeless? What does it mean? What could be the cause or the problems or the symptoms of your soul being spiritually homeless? What does it take to recover from spiritual homelessness? And what is the solution to spiritual homelessness? And so when I started researching about homelessness and what it was going on in America, just with all the homeless, because there's such a need and there's such a necessity for people that are homeless because they have nowhere to go. They have nothing that makes them feel secure from the elements, from their mind, just from whatever's going on. So they wander around place to place, homeless, without a place to call their own, without a place to land, without a place to be concrete. And I'm just going to give you a couple statistics. I thought this was really interesting. It says that there's an estimated 2 million or more people that spend time homeless every year in America. And it says most times we think it's due to hardships, recessions, We think it's because they're uneducated. We think that because they're drug addicted, dirty, unstable people are too lazy or crazy to get a job. And a lot of times that's not true. So they broke, and also I could break down the percentage of people that are homeless. It says 44% of single men are homeless. 44%. That's a lot of men, y'all, in America that are homeless. That's a lot of men. That's another whole issue to look into, that why are our men homeless when our men are the leaders, when they need to be up front and up forward, leading our country, leading our communities, leading our society? Why are our men homeless? Then 36% of families are homeless. Families, complete families. That means they have husband, wife, children. Families are homeless. Or if it's a mother and her children, or a father and his children, there's complete families that are homeless. People that have created something, that have come together, they're homeless. That makes me wonder, why are our families homeless? Then it says 13% of single women are homeless. 13%. That's a high number for women to be out there on the street by themselves without a home, without anywhere to call their own. That's kind of unfortunate. It makes my heart hurt, honestly, y'all. When I think about it, it truly indeed makes my heart hurt. It makes me wonder, what are we doing? What's going on in our society where we have people that are homeless, where we have people that are without? Because there's enough here in America for everyone to have something, for everyone to have a piece of something, for everyone to have a home. No one should be without. There's so many resources that are available. No one has to be without anything. And so when I think about that, it also makes me think about being spiritually homeless. It makes me think about what's going on spiritually that makes us spiritually homeless. Because a lot of times, I know for me in past practice, I wondered, are people that don't have a spiritual connection, that don't have a spiritual home, we would look at them as what the Bible would call adulterers, fornicators, sinners, you name it, liars, thieves, whatever you consider bad, people in jail, people that have done this or that, whatever you would consider bad. I know for me, I've always thought, well, those are the people that don't have a soul connection, that don't have God in their life like the way they need to, or that don't know what God is truly all about, that need to know God a little bit more. So I know for me, in my own life, that's what I equated to people that were without God, that were without somewhere to call their own. And then I had to rethink that whole idea and that whole concept, because there was a time in my own life, in my own very existence, that I was spiritually homeless, that I felt like I didn't have a place to call my own. And there are times still now that I feel spiritually homeless, that I feel that I'm lost, that I feel that I'm without, that I feel like I don't have anywhere to go, I don't have anyone to turn to, and I don't know what to do, how to do it, or where to do it. But I would say the time for my life when I felt spiritually homeless was when my mother passed. It's like, oh my goodness, tell me, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to turn to? What does this mean for my life? And do I need to change it? Do I need to readjust my whole life, because I'm feeling incomplete, I'm feeling less than, I'm feeling as though I don't know where to go. I had no landing place. I was scattered. I was all over the place. I was fearful. And I just knew that this life wasn't going to be the same, and that it wasn't going to be what I needed it to be. And so I found myself being in a place where I was spiritually homeless. And I said, what does this mean for me? How am I going to get over this fear? And one of the symptoms I found of being spiritually homeless is you have a fear of being spiritual. You have a fear of being spiritual. I don't know if anyone's ever faced that fear in particular, But a lot of times, y'all, we can truly be afraid to be spiritual because a lot of times spiritual people have gotten a bad rap. They're those people that are airy-fairy, that don't really understand life, that don't know what life is all about, that are up in the clouds, and, you know, they're different from everyone. But what I realized is spirituality is a connection with God. And it could be somewhat fearful to know God on a deeper, more personal level. Because once you become spiritually connected to God, what you see and what you become aware of and what you know is intensified. That takes courage. Oh, my goodness. That takes courage to accept that type of intensity, that type of knowledge for God and with God. Because what you realize between you and God, so being spiritually minded on that level can really intimidate some people. I know it intimidated me for years. I was okay. I was content with having religious practices, religious rituals, religious traits. I was okay with being religious. But when God started transforming my life to more spiritual base versus religion, I started seeing and experiencing things I never experienced before. It's like I knew what was happening. My awareness, my senses, my keenness was opened up. And it allowed me the opportunity to see people for who they were. I learned how to see people for their spirit and not for their human incarnation or their shell. I started being able to see people at the inward level. And honestly, like I said before, it took me a while to get rid of that fear and just accept this is what God wants all of us to be, to have that consciousness, to have that awareness, to have that opening. Because when you start opening up to God, when you start seeing him for who he is, when you see God the way God sees us, that means he sees us as beautiful, glorious, wonderful. Not all the negative stuff that people like to, you know, think we're about, that we're just sinners and we're all going to hell and, you know, we're no good, we're just wretched. That's not always the case. Now, everyone has their own different personality, their own different perspective, but if we start to see ourselves, and if we start to see God the way God sees us, our whole perception changes of who we are. And so when you look at yourself and you look at God and you see a mirror reflection, that changes your whole world, and that becomes beautiful. And that's the start of harmony. That's the start of finding a home for your soul, where you realize that within you is perfection. Within you is the glory of God. Within you is who he's creating you to be. And the image is beautiful. The image is glorious. So with my experience with losing my mom and feeling lost, and I would have to say that's the time where I felt most lost, I really felt like I wasn't protected, I wasn't safe, that I was uncovered, that my soul had no one to connect with. And as I said, how do we get back on track? How do we find and how do we get rid of residing in restlessness, in a fearful state of being, in a state of hopelessness, neglect, rejection, defeat? How do we not become victims? How do we find shelter in all of this? And you know what? This is the nitty gritty. This is what I call nook and a cranny. This is what I call the nook and the cranny. Forget pen and paper, because this is going to be, like I like to tell everybody, there's a solution to it all. What I found one of the solutions to be is a mindset transfer. Yes, I said it. A mindset transfer. That your mind has to be set on the outcome that you want. You become different from what you used to be, and you really have to change your mind. You have to change the way you think, what you accept, what you receive, and what you put out, so that you can be available for what God has for you. And that availability is an internal look, and it's not anything external, because you can change your external circumstances all you want. You can lose as much weight as you want. You could cut your hair. You could dye your hair. And I've tried to do that before. I tried to cut my hair, dye my hair, lose weight. Oh, my goodness. And so the external was looking good, but it still was the internal that was homeless, that didn't have anywhere to go, that didn't have any shelter. So once I truly, truly made the choice, truly made the decision to transfer my mindset, I started looking for ways to put my mind in a different place, realizing and confirming, declaring, decreeing that, one, I'm all right already right now, that God has made me complete, whole, and centered already, that I didn't have to look externally for the healing, that there was no need to look into extraterrestrial circumstances, people, situations, places, or things, to find out what it was that I needed, what it was that I wanted. So I would say the mindset has to change. And a part of the mindset changing is to quiet the mind, to truly get in a state of stillness where your mind is quiet so that you can see the consciousness of what God has for you. And mind you, this is all done with God. Why not do it with the Creator? Why not do it with the supreme authority? Why not? If he created you and he creates all of us, why not do it with him? Why not seek to have the mindset that he does so that it can be transferred, so that we don't have to be without? That's a part of finding your soul's center, your soul's gravity, the home for your soul. Because your soul does have a home, and a lot of times our home is inside us. It's inside the knowledge that we already have. The home for the soul is within the choices that we make. A lot of times, y'all, we make these choices and decisions based on temporary situations, temporary circumstances. And we wonder, why is our soul lost? Why am I out here not able to figure things out? Why am I out here not able to live life, not able to live life abundantly, not able to figure out what's going on, not able to clear the fog from my head? Because a lot of times it's the choices that we make which cause our soul to be disconnected, discontinued, be in complete discord. And so once we are able, and that's the thing, you have to be available. Availability and ability go hand in hand. You can have ability but not be available. So you can have all the ability in the world, as we do, to change your whole life but not be available. That just simply means that you don't want to be ready. You're making the absolute choice, either consciously or unconsciously, to not be available, not be ready for the gravitating change, the gravitating pull of a new life, of a new mindset. So it's quite important that we change our mind and just make the simple choice, the simple absolute choice to change our mindset. And so that would be the first key. As you know me, I like to stay in the harmony music thing. That would be the first key to finding a home for your soul, is to change your mindset, to transfer your mind to newness, to greatness, to knowing that you're all right already right now, and that God is creating and moving in a direction that he needs you to go, and that you don't get stuck in that current, but you get stuck in the flow. Because when the flow is moving, when the flow is moving, you don't get stuck. That energy current, that frequency, that vibration changes completely, and you no longer stay stagnated in the past. You no longer stay stagnated in a spiritual condition that doesn't allow growth, that doesn't allow renewal, that doesn't allow transfer. And another thing, just while we're here, I'm going to drop this by you too. We have to be careful of the people that we allow into our spirits, into our space, into our circumstances, because bonding and evolving with the wrong spirits can leave you spiritually homeless. Yes, oh my goodness, you can be homeless because of the surroundings that we're in with the choice of people that we make. And the spirit knows well who is and who should or should not be in your space. The spirit knows, and it is up to us to listen to that spirit, to be obedient to the spirit, to surrender to the spirit. Because when we surrender, we're not just giving up. We're not just giving up and turning it all over. What we're doing is we're accepting the divinity that God has for us. So we have to surrender the natural man to the spiritual man. And the outcome of the surrender is the beauty and the glory of God. And that is the connection. That is the home we need. The home we need is a building of surrender, of completeness, knowing that everything is working together for our good. Oh, my goodness. That reminds me, y'all, of the song by William Murphy. He said, everything is working together for my good. And it feels good, and it's good. And that everything that's happening in our life, whether we understand it or not, is working together for my good. And that's a part of the mindset transfer, knowing that everything that happens in your life, everything that's going on in your life, that is working together for our good, so that you don't get in a place of complacency, a place of sorrow, a place of depression, because you can gravitate towards those spirits if we're not careful. That's why I said be careful. Be careful who you surround yourself with. If you know that you're feeling not up to the level of spiritual connection you need to be, you don't find people that are more disconnected to be around, but you find those and gravitate towards those spirits that are connected on the level that you want to get to. And I am convinced, and I am persuaded that the second way to find a spiritual home is through oneness with the higher. You got, you know, what does that mean? Oneness with the higher. For me, and I can speak for me because I know Yvette, what I can say is that oneness with the higher power, the higher creator, the higher authority, the higher benefactor, the higher God, not the God in the sky, not the man up there, the man that throws temper tantrums, that's sending everyone to hell, that's just gonna do so much bad and so much wrong to us and isolate and annihilate us and any thing that we do. But I'm talking about the higher power, the God consciousness within us, that the God that allows us to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. No matter what the situation is, there's a new opportunity and a new way to get connected to him. And that's the great thing. I know it took me to realize, take God out the box. Take him out the box, Yvette. Why do you put God in this limited little box when he is the ultimate authority? He is the ultimate king. He is the ultimate benefactor. Take him out the box. Don't just put him in there. Don't just, you know, have him there for Sunday or even Wednesday, you know, when you go to Bible class or whatever, or the time that you're praying and you pray, you know, once in the morning, once at night, then go to bed. Take him out the box where he becomes every breath. Every breath that I breathe, I'm connected to him. Every breath that I take is another breath that I take together with him. And for me, this practice has been a practitation, meditation for one, because it helps to still my mind, and it gets me connected. It gets me connected with God on a level that I don't have to just speak to him, but that he hears my internal voice, and we speak in a level of the spirit where we're communicating with one another. And the second practice would be just a constant prayer where I don't have to stop moment by moment and say, let me pray real quick. No, every moment God is closer to me than my hands and my feet. Oh, my goodness. Think about that for a minute, where God becomes closer to you than your hands and feet. That means that God is connected to every portion of you, every vein, every blood flow. God is straight connected, that he doesn't have where you're not connected to him. There's no disconnection. It's all connected. And once I realize that God in prayer is closer to me than my hands and feet, and that there's no delay, that I don't have to be delayed, I don't have to separate it, it's all one, and that there becomes a divine connection. Not only is a connection divine, but it's eternal and it's continuous. Now, that got me excited, that no matter what, the connection I have with God is completely continuous. I don't have to stop it for nothing. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I don't have to stop it. And that is where you find that home, that home for the soul, is that you don't stop it, you don't disconnect it, you don't have to separate it from it. Because I think sometimes when we become homeless, it's because we're separated. We think that they're two separate entities. And it's funny, I'll tell you a little story real quick. I was talking with someone, and I asked them, have you ever considered having a spiritual liaison in this particular area? And the person said, no, I don't know if that's what we should do because of our surroundings, because of the circumstances. And then they proceeded to tell me, well, for me, I keep the two separate. And I was baffled by this, because they told me this as though that was like a revelation. That was like you didn't know to keep them separate. And I was so confused. I said, why on earth? In time, I said, why on earth would you want to separate God and you? There's no separation. One, that's part of the issue or situation when you try to separate the two. However, when you can join the two and you know that they're always together, that they're never separated, they're always one, your life changes. Because you know that no matter where you are, whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at work, whether you're at the tire place, whether you're at home, whether you're with the kids, whether you're with the homegirls, whether you're with the boyfriend, whatever you may be doing, you realize there's no disconnection, and it's a continuous flow, because you are available to the miracle of the oneness that God has for you. And I think that is beauty, when you know that the oneness with the new is where you can live through, and it's the right place to live, because that type of life embodies nurturing. You get food from that. You get spiritual nourishment from that. That's where you engage and you allow the revelations. Oh, my goodness, the revelations of the higher power, the higher authority, to become a part of you. And that's when you can know that God is always there with you. And so I just want to tell you guys, just become one with your soul. Continue to find a home for your soul. And know that God does have a home for your soul. So I say, with the mindset transferring the oneness with the higher power, your soul can be connected. And I'll leave you with a quote from Oprah. It says, when the soul gets what it came for, it leaves. So always get what the soul came for, because the soul has a particular purpose, and every soul has a purpose. Every soul has a home, and it's up to us, y'all. It's a personal decision to find a home for your soul. It's the personal manifestation through you, to you, to find a home for your soul. And if you want it, you could find a home for your soul. I thank you for joining me today. I love each and every last one of you, and I thank you for being here. This is Yvette Harmony Jett signing out, and stay become one with your soul. Bye.